Okay, welcome today. I'll start over here with Dunin Libraries because it didn't let me share my screen when I didn't have the recording going. So now I got the recording up, done recording the data, and today is Wednesday the 22nd, and we're going to talk about libraries. And then next is reading data in the data frames. I put the audio recordings online and the recordings and audio. I don't know why I put the audio, but I also, with the Jupyter Notebook, I started another Jupyter Notebook today, sorry, in Jupyter Labs. So maybe I'll throw that on the website. And then for some new people and some other people, we need to get this done, but I'm thinking that I'll start trying to do a one-day course sometime at the beginning of next semester, like May 17th and 18th. So if you know other people and you really like this, maybe see if some of your friends would want to join in. And I'm thinking one or possibly 2 days. And I guess if you guys want to send me some chat messages, if you think Sunday or Monday would work better, I like kind of like the Sunday or Saturday or Sunday on the weekends because then I can have a whole day if we go through all these lessons. We can do it in 8 hours. The problem is I can't seem to find a day where I have no other meetings, but I might, if I start now, reserve Monday for that. And my understanding is that's the week after finals, and then people will be starting summer stuff that day. So that might be good for new people, including one person that might start working with me on May 16th. So anyway, chat with me, and if you think Monday or Sunday or Monday would be better for students or either. So that's your first question. And I started a new Jupyter Labs notebook. So try to open that up. I put in here my markup for the notebook so I can save that for this day. And today we are talking about libraries. And the idea today is to learn how to use software, particularly Python software that other people have written, and how to find out what that software does. We want to explain what software libraries are and why do programmers use them. Why they write programs that import the libraries into Python and find and read documentations on standard library interactions from the interpreter. So basically this is an interpreter. And the way we've been using Python is as an interpreted language. So, reuse of software is really the crutch of why programs are so powerful. So the first thing is a library is a collection of files. And I tend to think of a collection of files as a module. A single file program that we have is a single file, but you group them together, you get modules that do a particular functions, and then libraries are collections of these. So a lot of times libraries have a whole bunch of different programs within them. The libraries can contain data values, and typically libraries are supposed to be interrelated. So if you use some of my ADPA stuff for airborne data processing, we try to have like an IDL library related to that, and I kind of just stick everything together that's being reused. But we do have modules that do particular tasks, which are groups of files. So there are standard libraries that come with Python, and then there's other ones that you import. And then you can always write new libraries. So we wrote a, we're kind of writing a library for the Python ADPA to import, export, and write data. And I think there's a little bit difference between libraries and actual programs, which are more task-oriented. Libraries are made to be reused. So the first thing we must do is you must import the library before we use it. So that's done with the import to load the libraries into computer memory. And then a lot of times we want to use stuff from within that library. So that's a sub program or whatever we're using. And a lot of times that's with a dot between them. So let's input the math library so that Python can do some math. And I'm still not used to that. So import math, we'll input the math library. So the libraries can have values. So let's import, and we imported it, and then we can run, look at the value of pi. So the numerical value of pi, 3.14159265358979 something something. So we have that, and then you can do other things. So try this, print cosine of pi is, and then you're gonna do math cosine math.pi. So, and I should close it. So if you don't remember, the cosine of pi is minus one. And so it comes out exactly to 1.0. So that way we have two function, you know, this is being a function, math.cosine is a function where we put a value in it. So the libraries can have both functions and values. And of course, you have to write each part of the command, or the, sorry, the library. And you can't do something like math.cosine pi. So that won't work because pi would be like a variable then. So it doesn't know the difference between a pi and math.pi. So it's a variable within that library and not within your main scope. Our friend help is useful. So you can do help on math like we did before. And I keep wanting to do that. So it gives you the description of the parameters. And you can go through, get the name, get the description, the functions that are available. So you can see there's a lot of them, like the cosine we use. So this is a library because it has all these different functions within it. So it's a lot of different code, and then they give you what the input, output, and information about that is. So a lot of information for when you do that. There's another way to import the libraries, and that's with the from import command. So let's try using the from math import cosine and pi. That works, yep. So then you can print cosine pi is cosine pi. What did I do wrong there? Forgot my frequency, right? So now you don't have to do the math.cosine and math.pi. We just imported it as a regular function that would be in this program. So so it's like creating the order shortcut. So that's the from math import. There's also a way to create an alias. So sometimes you don't like to print out the wrong type of thing like math, because it's four letters and that's too hard to type. So import math as M. And then you can do print cosine pi is, and then we can do m cosine pi. So we can do it like that so that you don't have to spell math. Some programs like NumPy become long and people like to import them as NM. And stuff like that, which is common. Matplotlib is another one that you can import. So if you haven't used it, there's matplotlib, and you can import that. Import matplotlib as MPL. So another common way, although I haven't seen that quite as much as NumPy. Okay, first thing to do, if you can use the help, see what you can do in terms of how do you calculate with the math module. What function? So what function from math can you use to calculate the square root without using sqrt?
The POW?
Yeah, so how would you use POW?
POW number, comma, whatever the power, so number, comma, half.
So help on math. So where's POW? You can go down here. Can we do, I think you could do, so yeah, POW, and it returns the power law. Can we do help on math.POW? See, that works too. I should have known that. So you can do the square root using that. So print POW 4, 0.5, right? And that should give you 2. So that's the square root. So, and then is there a help on math.sqrt? So there's an sqrt too. So why do you have both? Anybody want to tell me why you would have both?
In the case for like cube roots, I'm not sure.
What was that, Christian?
For the case to, if you wanted to find out I don't even know what I was saying.
Okay. I don't know. I guess part of it is because people are just used to a SQR. T function you have it in C program languages.
Oh wait, can you do the cubed root within just using the square root command?
No, I think that the square root just returns the square root of it. So
right.
You would need a power law to do so a cube root, right? You would have to put in what would it, let's see, 16, so that would be 1.0 divided by 3.0, like that, give you a cube root, and I don't know what a cube root, 4 times 4, oh, it needs to be 32, right? That's too high. 4 times?
64 would be
4 times
64.
Yes.
Can't
do math.
No,
and then it doesn't come out quite even. Would this come out even? No. Interesting. Because 1/3 is not an even number. I'm gonna have to figure out how that comes out to 4.
You can add the round function.
Yeah, you could. Okay. Okay, say we have a, why don't everybody try this, see if you can come up with a solution here in terms of what kind of standard library can we use to, if we had a string, like this. How would we get a random character from that string? Does that make sense? More importantly, what, I guess the question is, what library would you use to help you get a random number? So you can, or a random character from that string. So take a second and then chat me, give me a private chat with the answer for which Python. And if you don't know how to do that, I would suggest just put it into Google. And I have not tried this, but put in a Google what you would want and see if you can find something that way. Or maybe just try a couple different names that you might have for what the library would be. And then send me your library name. Okay, I see my chat. Okay. We'll get all kinds of interesting answers. Okay, try to run a program like that because I got a couple people. And I'll tell you the hint is there's probably a lot of different ways to do this. Because I think I got three different ways and and remember, we got base there. So, so I'll give you my solution. Yeah, we're doing this as a string of base. So we want a random character from that. So, and my code messed up here. Random range. Oh, link. I need to have my parentheses along link. I don't have it right. Base.
Oh. Is it because you have it named bases instead of base?
Yes. Need to do that, right? No. So base is equal to that. Base random.
You have bases in the length also.
Oh, yeah. Okay. There we go. And it's random because the most time I run it, we get different values. So the other way I could do this is change it back to bases. And then, of course, I would put my variable here because then you got to use the variable bases. So there we go. It gets a different random number. So I see some answers. People use, a lot of people said NumPy. So NumPy, NumPy random int, NumPy random dot choice. There's also random dot sample. So lots of different ways to do this. And, I don't know. Just get one that works and one that makes sense and go with that. But then there's so there's a lot of different libraries that can do different do the same things. Bases. I guess the reason we're using bases is these are bases for DNA sequencing bases. So here's a set of code that's not here's a set of code, and what we want to do is to take these lines and print out a random DNA base. And it's indexed in the string. And then you can use and you can add different things and you can subtract them and add different values. And the underlines are something that you have to define the name of. So this, you should put a variable here and define it as something. See if you can come up with something like that and maybe chat me the your solutions. So we need a base, a random base. Okay, no one's sending me any solutions yet. Do you get the idea of what to do, everybody?
Yeah, I'm not understanding what.
We want to print this out, and we want to print out bases, and it's something. The idea is these blanks here, you need to fill things in. And the other thing is the code may be in the wrong order. So you have to define a variable here and a variable here. And then you might have to add some lines too. We need to get the so you want to rearrange the following statements so that a random DNA base is printed and the index in the string. Okay, Christian sent me the solution. And Sean sent me the code. Christian, you can use the define end base with using the link function.
Gotcha.
But that's the idea. You get the code to work and then you refine it, Christian. So that's called refactoring. Refactoring. How about Shanko and Maddie and Greg? Any, can you figure it out? Need hints? We ask for some hints. I'll give you. Let me turn this into a markdown. Yeah. Oh, whatever. What did I? Well, raw. What we do a couple of things is, one of them is usually you always put your imports at the beginning. Import everything at the beginning. Let's see here. And base is equal to that. And then what do you think? How about that? What do you think? If we put in, what would INDX be equal to make this work? Anybody got an idea? What command did we use before? Anybody?
For what?
What command did we use before? What would INX have to be equal to? To make this work. So we had random.
Random dot random range.
Range and an end base. Base is. So then I ran it each time and that's my solution. Okay. Simple question. If someone types or someone gets the following error, what? So this is the error method. What are they doing wrong? If you run this and you're trying to get information, so you want to get some help information on math, and you get this error, what do you think's going on?
You didn't import it.
You didn't import it. So that's usually the biggest thing with importing is you forget to import stuff. All right, here's another code. Or another section of code. And it's the same thing. The stuff in the blanks is supposed to fill in. So this one's easier in the fact that you just take and fill in where you see underlines with the things that are missing. And the idea is that you want to print out, it should print out 90. So can everybody text me what would be this 3 lines of code that would print out 90? I think everybody's getting this. So let me give you the answer. So you just put M's in there. And that's what everybody should have done. If you don't do it as that, you can import it as math. And that will work the same way. So what do you think? Do you think the is it easier to write the first one? Yes, but which one's easier to understand? If you print this out and you print out math, it's easy to understand, particularly when you come back later. Many ways to import my libraries. Okay, we got the following 3 lines of code. And what, maybe I just do it this way. Change this to what line of code would work with which one of the following imports? So let's see here if I can get this back up. So for example, you can do math import sine pi. And if you did that call, then you can do the first one, right? Quint. Oh, I didn't want to do that. I want to do print. I want to copy this. I'm going to copy. Not doing very good in copying that line. Print sine pi to So that works if you did the first import, but what would you need for the other two prints? To use this one, right, you have to use the import like this, and import math, then you would have to specify the whole math library, and the import star is the same and imports all the library functions. Okay, anyone want to tell me what they think? If we do this command, what do you think the error will be without running this? So anybody want to text me what you think the error will be in this command? So log of 0, I guess it takes a little bit of math. What do you think the error will be? Can we take a log of 0? So the idea is you get a, you can't take the log of 0, so it's a range error. You can't get the it's outside the domain of the function. So value error, traceback. So this is, what type of error is this when it is a traceback? Remember from last time?
Runtime?
Who is that? Was that Greg or?
That was.
Yeah, you want to tell me what type of error is this?
Is that a runtime error?
Yes, runtime error as opposed to a syntax error. So you get an error value indicates that the function receives an inappropriate argument value. Math domain error tells you a little bit more that it's outside the domain of the function. So libraries, we went over using libraries, very powerful for programming. You must import the library. And then the other thing is usually if you try to do something like import math or import NumPy and you can't, it's because it's not installed on your system. So that's when you got to ask or you got to install it either yourself or have someone else to install it. Use the help to find out information about it. You can import specific items from it. And you can create your own aliases if you don't like what the library function was named. So we have a function you can import for looking at ASCII data files that Nick Gap wrote about called ADPAA. And so we usually import that function, and you can put it as an alias as something else. So we like that. And I keep going through this, and we're at the end, and that's it. But we can stop there. Maybe I'll stop sharing my screen with this. And I'll stop the recording.